You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2024, and I am MP Holmes. In the last 3 months of 2023, food assistance programs in the region marked almost a 50% increase in usage compared to the same period in 2022. In those last 3 months of 2023 alone, almost 15,000 unique households accessed a food assistance program, a 43% increase over that period in 2022. Those are food bank numbers, and they highlight the surge in demand of food and the growing issue of food insecurity within our community. Amidst these challenges, there are stories of hope and compassion emerging through community-led initiatives that are making a difference in the lives of those in need. These initiatives include the Tiny Home Takeout and Food Not Bombs, which are both operating on shoestring budgets with a crew of volunteers and demonstrate the power of grassroots movements in addressing basic human needs. The Tiny Home Takeout initiative began with a simple idea during the pandemic and has since evolved into a vital service for the community. With the support of St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church, the initiative offers meals to anyone in need, regardless of economic standing. St. Mary's Church invested in a full commercial kitchen, hired a chef, and installed a tiny home in front of St. Mary's Church in downtown Kitchener to make food accessible to all. As the need has grown apparent, the initiative has expanded its services to Victoria Hills, recognizing the higher concentration of individuals in need in that area. Father Toby Collins, the pastor of St. Mary's Church in downtown Kitchener, talked to CKMS News about his belief that everyone in the downtown community has a right to great food, cooked with care and served with dignity. Father Toby explains how many people they serve per week.
It's between 1,800 and 2,000 people a week. It's very well organized. And yeah, we need a few more volunteers. But other than that, we're doing okay.
The financial donations from the Diocese of Hamilton and the congregation contribute significantly to the annual budget. This financial support underscores the collaborative efforts within the community to sustain the operation.
The parish pays for this space, for all the rent and utilities that an operation like this would have. It's run out of St. Mary's Church. We pay for the infrastructure. And in addition to that, it's approximately $700,000 a year for staff and packaging and food. We have founding donations from the Diocese of Hamilton for $200,000 a year, and $120,000 from the Congregation of the Resurrection.
Father Toby highlights the importance of local food production as a way to address rising food costs and promote healthier and more accessible food options for all.
So I see a trend happening. I think we're going back to growing locally. I think we're turning community spaces and sometimes our own backyards into gardens again. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I think that the costs of food have gone up in part because of the pandemic. It was a very lucrative business for many producers and grocery stores and supermarket chains to get involved in. And I don't see that prices have come down that much. I also see the actual cost of producing food on the scales that we have as increasing because of the cost of fossil fuels and other machines that have also gone up in price because of glitches in manufacturing and shortage in computer chips that make them go. So all of this, I think, is just like a wake-up call for us in this community to rely less on technology and more on involving the production of food into our everyday lives. I see it as a good thing. And I see there being more food and healthier food for everybody to eat if they turn more usable space back into gardens. Being a landscaper for a few years before I was a priest, I realized just how much usable land there is within the city limits, within the limits of the region, that is going unused and is being used as a place to grow grass and flowers and bushes. And those are all good things and they're green. The majority of them don't provide anything for us to eat. I think that's an issue. And I think also when people use the land that we walk on, whether Indigenous or First Nations or first settlers from Europe, gardens were much more common than they are today. So this is a wake-up call for us all, I think, to understand just how much we've been reliant on technology and how we're all being invited to make food production more a part of our daily lives and labor.
Father Toby emphasizes the significance of community gardens as spaces for intercultural learning and collaboration. By turning local spaces into gardens, communities can cultivate connections, embrace diversity, and promote inclusivity through shared experiences and dialogue.
I think it's about creating opportunities where people of different or varied or diverse cultures and faith backgrounds can get to know each other and learn more from each other. For example, more events like the Multicultural Festival that's held in Victoria Park in Kitchener every year. Because when we fail to learn about each other, whether we've been here for generations or only 2 weeks, when we fail to learn about each other, ultimately, I think we fear each other. And I'm seeing that firsthand. And sometimes by the way I'm treated, or sometimes just by the way that people are driving around me, or sometimes I'm driving because I lose patience. And I see so many changes happening to our community in such a short period of time. It's really just difficult to catch up.
While the Tiny Home Takeout makes their own food in their own kitchen, another food distribution group is Food Not Bombs. Food Not Bombs exemplify the spirit of inclusivity by providing free community meals made from donated foods that would have otherwise gone to waste. The commitment to diverting food waste and securing donations through partnerships with local businesses and organizations underscores the importance of community support in addressing food insecurity. Each Friday, Food Not Bombs picks up donated food from grocery stores and cooks fresh vegan meals that are served on Saturdays to the community for free. The distribution occurs on College Street on the west side of City Hall towards the back of the City Hall Square. An estimated 40 to 70 individuals benefit from the service provided, and the fluctuation in numbers is influenced by various factors such as weather, holidays, and specialized events. Katie, a volunteer with Food Not Bombs, talked to CKMS News.
In terms of community members who come, it really varies. We tend to make between 30 and 50 servings of soup, and they all go. I don't have a good sense because I don't count people. So I couldn't really know. Maybe someone else. Hey, how many people do you think come like through the lines? 40 to 70.
Katie explained the numerous roles volunteers play.
In terms of volunteers, I would say that we have usually about 10 people over the course of the various tasks that we do to coordinate Food Not Bombs. Volunteers cook, pick up produce, pick up bread, clean up. We also have volunteers who manage the email listserv and who take care of helping keep track of expenses and communications. There's a lot of kind of back-end stuff that people do to corral us. And then we work alongside our other friends and they get donations from the market.
Katie explained that through partnerships with local businesses and support from local organizations, Food Not Bombs secures donations and funding to continue its mission.
Yeah, we get food donations from Full Circle and from Central Fresh Foods, from Grain Harvest Bakery, sometimes from Cobb's Bakery, and from Cafe Pyrus. We also get some produce support from the food bank, which was something that happened during COVID, and we're still looped into that network. We also are very grateful to have funding through LSPERC at the University of Laurier to help us with things like we recently switched back to doing hot community meals, and it was their funding that helped us purchase the hot plates and the generator that we needed to do that. Okay. A big part of Food Not Bombs is diverting food waste. And if you were to look into part of the people who first started Food Not Bombs chapters, it was about mutual aid and diverting food waste. And as much as possible, we don't purchase new food. We do sometimes to supplement and like we need spices and stuff like that, but we don't purchase a lot of food items. It's more the auxiliary stuff that we need. Okay. And I should say too that like we have wonderful community members and churches in the area that donate their old yogurt tubs to us. We're full. We don't need any more right now, but that's another way that the community supported Food Not Bombs is by providing the tubs that people can use to take hot food home if they don't want to eat it here.
With local roots tracing back to the 1990s, Food Not Bombs has faced challenges, particularly during the pandemic. Changes in policies at serving locations posed logistical hurdles, requiring innovative solutions such as investing in a generator to uphold food safety standards. Despite obstacles, the resilience of Food Not Bombs and its supporters prevails.
Food Not Bombs is one-off things when asked, but in terms of our regular community serving, it's been at City Hall. And it's been adjacent to City Hall the entire, whenever it was it started. It was here for a while near Williams. And then prior to the pandemic, we were over there because that's where we could access an electrical outlet. We were really slow to return to hot serving because policies changed at City Hall and they wouldn't offer us electricity anymore. And we fought real hard to get support from City Hall. And there are a number of staff people at City Hall who are wonderful and supportive, but we could not get security to agree to turn on electrical for us. So that's why we had to thankfully use our funding from LSPIRG to purchase an expensive generator so we could still serve our hot food in accordance with public health guidelines at the proper temperatures.
Any idea why the security wouldn't do that?
They said that it was because they changed their policies and they don't support groups anymore. Food Not Bombs is really interesting because we are a group that uses the space every week, but we're not like an event. So City Hall has staff people to help with events. So Chris Kingle Market has a liaison. There's no staff person dedicated to Food Not Bombs. And so like we thought it was a pretty easy ask, just turn on the electricity like you used to do before the pandemic very happily for like decades. But apparently that ask was something they felt like they could not support.
Katie references LSPIRG, which is the Laurier Students Public Interest Research Group. LSPIRG provided funding for a generator when City Hall changed their policy about allowing groups like Food Not Bombs to access electricity from the City Hall building. On their website, they describe themselves as a nonprofit organization that helps to develop advocacy tools and avenues for action, acting as a reliable support in building and sustaining movements that tear down systems of violence and replace them with equitable and just communities. Another volunteer, Jordan, gave his opinion on the future of food security in the area.
I would argue it's only going to get worse because there's so many compounding things that are costing more. And it's like draining people. And so they'll have to turn to more services like this, Tiny Food Takeout, or the food bank.
Father Toby addresses the root causes of despair and violence, highlighting the impact of poverty and insecurity on individuals. By extending support and compassion to those in need, the community can combat feelings of hopelessness and prevent acts of violence. Building a supportive network and offering resources can empower individuals and foster a sense of belonging within the community.
Yeah, I think sometimes when we feel like we're being threatened or forced to do some things or to give up some things, we fall into despair. And when that happens, we tend to care less about someone else. Also, when people who, for one reason or another, are experiencing poverty, food scarcity, not having a home, and that goes on for a prolonged period of time, you're just going to see it condense into acts of violence. Because at least this is what I hear from some of the residents at a Better Chen City. If everyone else has given up on me, why should I care?
As the landscape of food security evolves, challenges persist in ensuring access to nutritious meals for all. The intervention of programs like Tiny Home Takeout and Food Not Bombs highlights how community-led initiatives are addressing food insecurity.
We all, I think, want peace and safety and a good meal on the table and a roof over our heads. And if we have that as a starting point, I think we're going to be okay. There's going to be a lot less hate and a lot more collaboration in terms of getting to our end goals and really building a community that is not only diverse, but accepting of the, and even celebratory of the diversity that we're blessed with.
In a world where food insecurity remains a pressing issue, the stories of hope, compassion, and community support are exemplified by initiatives like the Tiny Home Takeout and Food Not Bombs. The Tiny Home Takeout has several locations with different opening times, The original location, downtown Kitchener at 56 Duke Street West outside St. Mary's Church, is open Tuesday to Saturday, 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. And then of the two satellite locations, the first is at the Victoria Hills Community Center, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 6:30 to 7:30. And the second satellite location is at the Stanley Park Community Center at 505 Franklin Street North in Kitchener. And that location is open Wednesdays and Fridays, 6:30 to 7:30. Food Not Bombs can be found at the back of Carl's Air Square every Saturday from 4:30 to 5:30. For CKMS News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm MP Holmes. Thanks for listening.